Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. President Joe Biden has $1.6 trillion to spend on his big priorities like clean energy, manufacturing, and infrastructure because of four key laws passed during his time in office. But according to a new Politico analysis out today, less than 17% of that money has actually been spent. That's obviously a small amount given the president is months away from a November rematch with Donald Trump. And if Trump wins, he's likely to try and stall or reverse a lot of that spending. Now, this investigation took months of data analysis, reporting, and interviews with administration officials and business leaders. So today I spoke with two of my colleagues behind the project, Jesse Blazer and Ben Storrow, to go behind the scenes about how they put it together and what's at stake for Biden's legacy. It's Wednesday, May 8th. So Jesse, can you walk us through what the process was for reporting this major story? I know y'all have been working on it for months. It's something, you know, we've heard about on the energy team and a lot of us have been talking about. So just kind of, you know, what was the process like? Why did you decide to report it out the way you did?
I think, you know, when we began this project, our very first objective was just to determine how much money had gone out under the Biden administration in infrastructure, energy, and climate investments. It seemed like that would be a very answerable question, knowing how much tracking is out there, but it turned out to be a lot more complicated than I think we expected. One of the most unexpected challenges that we ran into was just the fact that all of this spending is tracked in different places. So we wanted to create a place where we put it all together, answered the question of what money is going out, where it's going, and what impact it's having all in one place for readers to really consider and understand.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And you mentioned just kind of some of the challenges of compiling all this information. I mean, what were the biggest hurdles, would you say, in reporting this out?
Well, the first biggest hurdle was being able to figure out what we could and couldn't say from data available, which any data journalist will tell you that that's step number one when you approach a story is figuring out what you can and cannot say. With this particular reporting question, that was a little bit more challenging than it is with other pieces, just because you were taking data from different resources that had different degrees of detail. So you've got different tracking sites from the government that really cover certain things well, such as how much money has been announced under the Inflation Reduction Act and under the bipartisan infrastructure law, but not necessarily things like how much has been spent on the ground. And there are other data resources to fill that gap. So you kind of have to push and pull at these different places and these different tracking websites to get a holistic sense of what has actually gone out. And in terms of challenges, we found that for certain laws, specifically the IRA, we just simply can't know how much money has gone out so far, whereas with other laws, we're able to better determine the money that's been spent.
And obviously, you're well experienced with how, you know, challenging it is to get the data. But I mean, what was there a part of the process, though, that surprised you, maybe more so than you would have thought going in?
It was surprising the fact that all of this information was not all in one place, especially because the way that we were considering it, these are all infrastructure investments, which I should say that the infrastructure investments that we were looking at here were from the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the Biden administration's climate law, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, which is, per its title, mostly focused on infrastructure development, CHIPS, which is semiconductors, and then the infrastructure and climate sections of the American Rescue Plan, which was primarily pandemic relief. That was the universe of the laws that we were looking at. So I think it was surprising in the sense that you can't just go to something like USA Spending, which is a website that tracks all federal spending information, and press a few buttons and understand what's been spent under each of those laws. It's just not that simple. That was a challenge and a surprise all wrapped up in one. We had to navigate that and figure out other ways that we could sort of fill in those gaps.
And once you went about getting this data, can you just talk about just how the rest of the newsroom got involved? I mean, how did you present it to the team and just how many people were really involved with this project?
It was a conversation between myself, my editor, and a couple of other leaders in the newsroom in terms of how to answer the question at first. So that sort of deployed me to be able to go out to all of these different databases and see what I could find. That in and of itself took probably about a month just to figure out what exists, where it exists, how we can answer certain questions and put it all together in a way that was easy to understand. So once we got to that point, that's when we pulled in other reporters and presented sort of what our preliminary findings looked like, which showed this is how much money has been spent. This is how much money that's been awarded. And in contrast, this is how much money that's been announced, which is sort of the most generous way that you can look at the money and how it's been deployed. And once we gathered the team of reporters around us, we were able to explore in greater detail what implications came from those findings and really kind of hammer home those reporting questions that came with it.
And fast forward, the story is now published, I'm sure, to your great relief. So tell us, you know, what were the big kind of takeaways or findings that you think the audience should really know about?
First and foremost, the most important takeaway is just that not a lot of money from this overall investment has been spent yet. It's important to note that not all of this money is available to spend. Some of it is reserved for future fiscal years. But out of the overall investment, we were only able to track about $125 billion in outlays, which are more or less equivalent to actual spending on the ground, specifically from the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the American Rescue Plan. So when you put that together with the full amount of what's been obligated under CHIPS and what's been announced under the IRA, you get to about 17% of the full $1.1 trillion investment in direct spending that the Biden administration has made. And more than likely, the actual spending figure is lower than that 17%. But that's a lot of numbers. And I think when it comes down to it, the biggest takeaway from that is just that this is a small slice of a historic investment, and we're still seeing how exactly it's being deployed on the ground. And I think these spending figures give an idea of that movement. And we'll have to see, you know, what comes next and how this spending actually works. Sort of what comes with that is just the idea that the announced funding is not necessarily equal to the money that's been spent or the money that's been awarded. And this comes to sort of, you know, the folks who are really paying attention to those announcements and better understanding what the Department of Energy is doing, what the Environmental Protection Agency is doing, and seeing the common sort of parlance and the conversations that are going on about new funding for the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. All of that money is still under negotiation. So it's important to sort of see that distinction and to know that just because something has been announced, that represents a certain point of progress in the process to getting the money deployed, but it does not necessarily mean that the money's been spent.
Got it. And I mean, what's your sense of how the administration is tracking the spending itself? You know, it obviously makes a lot of headlines on the announcement side, but as you're reporting, not a lot of it is actually spent yet. So is that something they're contesting, or I mean, how are they grappling with that?
It's not necessarily something they're contesting. It's just that they track announcements. And so with that, that is one level of detail that you can track when it comes to these laws. What is more detailed after that are sort of the subsequent steps, are the formal obligations, in other words, the formal award, and then the spending that takes place after the award. So in order to get to that announced point, the administration does have to do a lot of work. They have to find a recipient. They have to get a tentative amount that represents a huge amount of time just to get to that point where there's a press release that says the DOE has done X and has awarded this much money to this many recipients, but it doesn't mean that that money is available to those recipients yet to spend. So for the administration, you know, they've put together this website, invest.gov, which really is an incredible resource. There is tons of information available for people to be able to go on there to see what projects could potentially be coming to their area. And there's tons of data to parse too. But it's just important to understand that that announced funding doesn't necessarily mean it's been finalized. And if it's not finalized, it's not necessarily available to the recipient to begin spending and sort of make the change that the projects are promising.
Right. And Ben, I wanted to bring you here just kind of what this all means for the Biden administration. So obviously the president, known to have the most ambitious climate agenda ever, he's executing on that. These laws are evidence of that. But would you say, based on the reporting here, with such few amount of the money actually being spent, is the president's clean energy agenda actually being realized? I mean, is it fair to say that it is, if there's so little money out the door?
Yeah, it's a good question. I remember when Jesse first made her internal presentation to us, I was surprised at how little money had been spent because, and I know you'll appreciate this, we get emails every day from different federal agencies announcing a new program that often has a B attached to the price tag. So it's interesting. I think in terms of the impact, it doesn't really fit into a neat narrative in the sense that there are big things happening in the country as a result of these four laws. And we document a whole list of really big, potentially transformative projects that are happening. And yet at the same time, a lot of this stuff is sort of in its infancy. And it's really a question of scale and timeline. So in other words, are we going to go far enough, fast enough to do the types of things that the president wants to do to combat climate change and sort of, as he puts it, create blue collar jobs?
Yeah, I mean, would you say, given a lot of this isn't maybe super tangible at this point for people? I mean, you know, there are factories that are announced, some are under construction. I mean, there's progress, but not a lot is actually completed. I mean, how does that present a challenge for Biden and the administration at large?
I think it's a huge challenge, and I think it's a sort of a point of tension that we hit upon in the story. There is this huge bureaucratic process for the administration to set up whole new departments within the Department of Energy to spend this money. And so that's a huge effort that they've gone through. But does the average everyday person on the street see that? I think that's sort of the open question that we all sort of see here today.
I would just add to that, that in part of this reporting process, you know, we looked at award by award, what the spending information was, obligation and announcement, to see both what the award was going towards and how much progress had been made, monetarily speaking, towards reaching those goals. And it's so interesting to have that perspective when looking at all of this money holistically, because, you know, I've come across so many quote unquote rows of data that are very minute, like fixing a pedestrian bridge in a park or painting center lines on a highway. And a lot of this money is going towards relatively small things that needs to be done that make a difference in a community. But whether or not a voter is going to be able to put together that their pedestrian bridge is a result of federal funding and matches the update that they're experiencing in their highway nearby, I think is really tough to say.
Yeah, no, I think that's a key challenge and one that I hear a lot from lawmakers in Congress and the halls of Congress, kind of some frustration that are people making that connection to policy? And if they're not, you know, should we be communicating that more directly? So that's interesting. And also, of course, big question hovering over all this is Donald Trump. And if he does win the 2024 presidential election, of course, he has a much different approach to energy issues. I mean, what happens to all this money if Trump were to win? Is there a clear answer there in your mind, Ben?
Oh, man, I wish that there was. But I think it is sort of the trillion-dollar question in this case. If a president is going to play by the rules, you would traditionally say that it's very difficult to claw back this funding, or he would need the help of Congress to claw back this funding. But Trump hasn't always played by the rules, and he's on the campaign trail right now talking about being able to impound money that he doesn't think should be spent. So it's this sort of unknown in terms of how much could he actually do to sort of unwind Biden's programs here. Certainly one thing that we heard from people and from sort of the Trump energy orbit is that a lot of the loans and the grants that are outstanding, that those would definitely be paused and reviewed by the administration, maybe by a Trump administration. Maybe they would tweak the regulations that are still outstanding for various tax credits in a way that were more favorable towards fossil fuels, for instance. But how much further he would go beyond that? I mean, that's always the question with Donald Trump, isn't it?
I think you hit on the right aspects there that might be vulnerable and that he has some discretion over. Of course, the clean energy tax credits that are kind of the main core of the Inflation Reduction Act in particular, I mean, that's one where he would really need Congress and probably full Republican control, right, to actually claw back or repeal. And that's one where it's not clear the politics are totally aligned as far as what Trump is saying on the campaign and what a lot of Republicans in Congress are saying, because, of course, you know, these are whether it is the bipartisan infrastructure law, the Inflation Reduction Act, these projects, a lot of them well documented. Politico, you know, we've documented, of course, just where these projects are landing. And a lot of them are in red states and districts. So I don't think it's going to be so neat and tidy. You know, a lot of people make the Obamacare parallel. You know, once a program like that is entered into force, I mean, it's kind of hard to unwind once people see the benefits. And of course, your reporting shows, you know, maybe the process is slow, but there still is activity happening. And a lot of it is impacting the constituents of Republican lawmakers. So that'll be an interesting tension for sure.
It is interesting, and it's something that I think a lot of the people that we were all speaking to were sort of really dealing with and trying to think about, because he is such an unconventional candidate and president that some of the ways we normally think about these things don't necessarily apply.
I would just also add that you mentioned a second ago, Josh, that, you know, this money might be going out slowly. And I think that's one way you can take this story, just seeing like the proportion of a little bit of spending in comparison to the full value of what's been appropriated. But in reality, this really is a historic amount of money to deploy via these federal agencies. So knowing that, there's actually quite a lot of money that's gone out, nor is it necessarily slow. It's just that there is a ton of money to deploy within technically 5 years of spending. But if you put an electoral deadline on the spending, the question becomes much different.
And just to close here, I mean, for people interested, of course, you can find this project at politico.com. And just wondering if either of you have any kind of last thoughts as the story finally goes out into the world.
Yeah, I would say my last thought is, again, our goal here was to put together a comprehensive view of infrastructure and energy investments under the Biden administration. And I think that this piece really does do that. So if you're a reader who wants to understand more about what all of these laws are about that have been sort of thrown around the conversation over the last couple of years, the story will really be a place to help you understand how they all fit together and how they've functioned in the real world since they've passed into law.
I couldn't say it any better than that. That's perfect.
For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.